There's nothing like League. And this is the Betfred Super League.
Welcome along to another edition of Eddie and Steve-O, the podcast, and another special episode this time, because it's grand final week. All roads lead to Old Trafford on Saturday night for the 2023 grand final, Catalan Dragons against the Wigan Warriors, and what a game that should be. We look ahead to that, to the Championship grand final to be played in Toulouse the following day, and reflect the big awards night where the Man of Steel was named this week. But first of all, Steve-O, Old Trafford, Catalan and Wigan made it to the Theatre of Dreams, but in two totally contrasting games, don't you think?
Disappointed with the way that Hull Kingston Rovers shaped up. I did expect Wigan to win, but certainly not by those amount of points. I mean, it was... I really couldn't understand it, because KR have done okay this season. They've got a damn good coach, they've got a good set of players... And they just came up with so many errors, so many missed tackles. And you can't do that when you're into a semi-final. You've got to play tight. You've got to make sure the possession at least get 50%. And I reckon they'll be looking to get 25, even 30% of possession.
Yeah, you're right. Wigan were really good. But Hull Kingston Rovers, they really did reserve their worst performance of the season for this semi-final. And 5,000 travelling fans went from East Hull to Wigan. What a letdown for them.
Yeah, it's an amazing scenario when you think about it, is that, you know, it's not cheap. You know, the petrol's not cheap. To get over there, okay, they may have come over on coaches, etc. and so forth, but they still have to pay for it. And look, I applaud those fans. 5,000 to come over there, but they must have been bitterly, bitterly disappointed.
What on earth went wrong? They've been to Wembley this year. It couldn't have been big match nerves, surely.
Yes and no, because the fact is that when you start making mistakes in the first couple of minutes, you just try to rush into everything. All that work that you put in the week before, all the listening to the coach saying, this is what we're going to do, this is the plan, and that just went out the window. And that goes then, you go individual. Individual people try to say, well, me personally, I'm going to do this. And it doesn't work. You've got to work as a team. And they just fell apart. It's not the first time that you'll see a team do that.
No, Willie Peters afterwards, he tried to keep his chin up, but he looked devastated to me. I mean, you know, it's his first season in charge. Cup finalists, fourth in the table last year, eighth this year, 80 minutes away from Old Trafford. A modicum of success, and next year they've got Niall Evels coming in, Oliver Gildart, Tyrone May, Petr Hicku from the North Queensland Cowboys. They're not going away, are they? They're not going to be going away.
No. And they've dug deep. They're really, really backing the players that they've got, and also bringing in the new mob. And that could... Look, to lose a semi-final like that in such a way perhaps could be a blessing in disguise. They knew that they'd got it wrong. They knew that they came up with errors in that first 5-10 minutes, and you can't do that. You know, normally, to go into the semi-final, you've got to use hard graft. Do nothing outlandish. Just keep it tight. Make sure your defence is solid. And they just fell away. But, as I say, it's a lesson that they will learn.
Fingers crossed. Were Wigan that good, Steve-O? I mean, Matty Pete has been with Wigan since 2008. He's come through the ranks at the club, 6 grand final academy wins in 7 years. Now, for him, this is the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. It's done exceptionally well. He's a fine coach. We all know that. He's got a steady mind. And he's brought some great youngsters through. And that's what I like about that type of coaching, is that he's not frightened to throw someone in at the deep end. But they would have been a little bit bewildered themselves how easy it was to go through their defense. As you say, 17 missed tackles in the first half. You can't do that. It's simple. And he will not be looking at that game and thinking we were far superior. They were allowed to become superior. It's a whole different ball game against Catalan at the weekend.
Oh, absolutely it is, because the Catalan Saints semi-final was, well, it was defensively dominated. There's no doubt about that. Scoring opportunities came few and far between. What a moment, though, for Sam Tompkins. His try taking the Dragons to their second grand final in 3 years. Last time they were there, 2021. They lost to St. Helens narrowly. This was sweet revenge for the Dragons, wasn't it?
Oh, certainly. There's no two ways about it. What a wonderful way to go out of your career. And it needed that touch of magic because, as you say, it was a very tight semi-final, fully expected. And as we said the week before, Eddie, in regards to what happened down under, you know, one man took it on himself to say, well, I'll make sure that Penrith get to the final. Sam Tompkins did exactly the same sort of thing.
Yeah, and for St. Helens, well, the end of the road for LMS, of course, great servant. He's going to be a fireman, Steve-O, apparently. He's joining the fire brigade. I don't know what James Roby's going to do. He's probably going to stay on the staff at St. Helens if they've got any sense. I felt sorry for them both, so near yet so far.
Yeah, but they've had a great career, both of them. I mean, if anybody would say even just half of what they've achieved, they would be very, very blessed, and they would say to themselves, I was a success. Both of them, all right, they'll be disappointed. They didn't go out on a high, but that's life. That's sport. You can't win every single game. It's impossible. There comes a time when you're going to meet up with someone who is bigger, better, stronger, etc. and so forth, and it had to happen that particular day. And look, they'll reflect, they'll look back and just say, well, look at all my medals, look at all the times that we've won things, lifted the trophy and enjoyed that celebration in the dressing room, etc. It's something that you never forget. And they've done it several times, a lot more times than any other player perhaps has done in the past.
Absolutely. Wonder how Paul Wellens will reflect on his first year in charge. World champions in his very first game in Penrith, and then to lose in a semi-final in the Super League in Perpignan. Two completely different peas, not two peas in a pod there. But he's had a successful year overall, do you think?
Oh, of course he has. Yeah, I mean, listen, if it had been halfway down the table, and quite a few people were a little bit shocked when they came back from Australia after winning the World Club Challenge. They were, a lot of people sort of eyebrows raising, saying, ooh, St. Helens are not the side that they were over the last three seasons. And it took a while, slowly but surely, they got back into the swing of things. And it took a little bit of magic from a guy called Sam Tompkins that's kept them out of the grand final. So he should be very, very happy with what it is achieved. It's not easy to take over a side that has been so successful and keep them doing so.
And it gives him even more to aim for in 2024. Steve McNamara, well, he gets the Catalan to another grand final. He has got the man of the moment, Sam Tompkins, retiring, as is Mitchell Pearce. There are seven others leaving, Steve-O, after Saturday's grand final. We've known about many of these departures for a number of weeks. McNamara, though, has done a fantastic job getting them there, but he won't want to lose, will he? And they've got the defence to win it.
Well, the first thing that they've got to look at is try to tell Bernard Gauch to keep his mouth shut, because it cost him £10,000 for slamming the referee, remember, 2 years ago in the grand final. So I think my old mate Bernard, they'll be happy to get there. But does anybody like to be fined £10,000? No, of course not. I think that it's yet another dream for them to be able to get to another grand final. I think is tremendous. I think it's wonderful for our game of rugby league. I think it's wonderful for the game in France, and a packed house. You couldn't move. You couldn't buy a ticket to get in to watch it.
No, it was a sellout, wasn't it, in Perpignan? It was great to see. The crowd looked absolutely fantastic, and didn't they get behind them as well? What Steve-O was talking about 2021, let me just remind people. After that grand final, which St. Helens narrowly beat the Catalan Dragons, and some would say controversially, well, Bernard said he would never allow his team to play in a Super League final again without Australian officials. It's been raised at the news conference this week. Steve McNamara's dismissed the suggestion, obviously. It cost Bernard a £10,000 fine, as Steve-O says. He's not getting an Aussie ref, Steve-O. He's getting the same bloke. He's getting Liam Moore, who was in charge in 2021. I wonder what's going to happen here.
Well, look, keep his mouth shut. or should I say... speak in French all the time. I don't think anybody at Super League is aware of that we have someone that can sort of understand the French language. Look, he understands that, and I think that, you know, 2 years ago when he was obviously upset by some of the decisions, but it goes on in any sport. Without decisions, then you'd have nobody to complain about. So he'll be fine. Look, they've done a fine job down there, Eddie. They've created something. The biggest thing that we have to look for now is how on earth are they going to replace so many top-class players? Now, they do a lot of hard work with developing juniors, etc., in the south of France. But it's going to be difficult. I think they're losing six or seven players for next season.
Seven.
That's not easy.
Seven plus Tompkins and Pierce, Steve-O. Nine in all.
So when you think about it, let's hope that their development is as good as what we've seen the development over the last 18 months, 2 years at Wigan. Because they've brought through some absolute tremendous talent with a lot of class from overseas. But that's what you need. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be interesting, I'll put it this way, to replace quite a few of those players. But forget about that. They've got 80 minutes for glory. The first time ever. Think about it. They've won a Challenge Cup, and this would make the double. And it would be fantastic for the south of France.
It would be brilliant. It really would. Now, look, after the Challenge Cup success for Lee this year, Derek Beaumont talked about his serendipity moments. He had a feeling that Lee were going to win it, and win it they did. I wonder, is it written in the stars for Sam Tompkins on Saturday, a Wigan legend up against the club where it all began for him in his last ever game of rugby league? Is it going to be Sam's night?
I don't have one of those cloaks, and I don't have a magic wand, Eddie.
You've got a cloak. You've definitely got a cloak.
How on earth...
And a broomstick, but go on.
How on earth am I allowed to actually answer that? Probably the most stupid question you've asked me in our entire, shall we say, not playing career, but broadcasting career.
Okay.
I have no idea, but... I'm sure that they'd want to go out with that magic wand. We thought that about Roby. Everyone wanted for him to have the magic wand. But he's had the magic wand for so many years. Sometimes, maybe the wands get broken. Yeah, who knows?
You never know. So, some other Wigan past players, Tom Davis, Michael McAlorum in that Catalan Dragon side as well. They're going to be fired up, aren't they? They really are going to be fired up.
If they can't be fired up for a grand final, then they should all just retire now. This is going to be a tough encounter. I reckon that the experience that they've got in Catalan, I reckon they will try to upset quite a few of the youngsters in the Wigan camp. And the first 15 minutes are going to be vital, because I think that the French outfit will throw everything at Wigan in those opening 10, 15 minutes. It will be cruel. And I'm hoping that the referee, I think over the last few weeks, in fact, maybe over the last couple of months, the referees have allowed two, three players to hold down and to stop the quick play of the ball. And it's got worse as each week has gone on. And we want to see fast open rugby league. The crowd want to see it. It's on television. It's a great game. We know that. But we want it to make sure that the referee, if they're holding down, and you can actually watch the teams before the kickoff, they come out and practice holding down. One, two, and a third person coming in just to slow it down. Let's hope that the referee will say and tell them before, look, if you're messing around at the play the ball area, holding down, I'm going to penalise you. A lot of people say, well, why change it? But it's too late. But I want to see a spectacle. I don't want to see hardly anybody running from dummy half because they never get the chance because it gives them a chance to get their defence sorted out. Play the ball quickly and we get a better game.
But good point.
Over the past few months, we haven't got it and we need it.
We do in a grand final, you're right. Catalan going for their first ever grand final win. Wigan for their fifth. Now then, results this year. They've met three times previously, have the Dragons and Wigan. Catalan have won two, one at the Magic Weekend, 46-22. One at Wigan way back in March, 18-10. The last meeting was in August in the south of France. Wigan winning 34 points to nil. So go on, pick the bones out of all of that.
I think they'll just push it to one side, both coaches and both players. That was just one of those days where everything just went right for Wigan. Nothing went right for Catalan. Simple as that. We know they bounce back. And that won't even come into their thinking. It'll be a case of it's what's happening at the weekend, not what happened in the past. And the Dragons won't be saying, well, we're 2-1 up. Won't even enter their minds. They've got 80 minutes to concentrate and do as the coach wants them to do. Hull Kingston Rovers didn't do as the coach wanted them to do. So let's hope that this is going to be a good open rugby league final.
Let's keep our fingers crossed for that. Look, we spoke last week about the sports fears about the crowd at Old Trafford not being what it might be or should be. The Catalan Dragons are there now. Last time they were there in 2021, only 45,000 turned up. I just wonder what they're going to bring this weekend. 3,000 at the most. Wigan gave out a crowd of 15,000 for the game on Saturday, 5,000 from Hull KR. So only 10,000 fans from Wigan. Surely not more financial trouble for the game as a whole then. Let's hope not, eh?
Well, it's not a matter of hope. It's that the product is not attracting enough people to come and see the game. And I think it's pretty harsh for you to just say, well, oh, we can't have a French side because they'll only bring 3,000 or 4,000. Look, it's a great game, a great sport. Our rugby league grand final should be sold out halfway through the season.
I agree.
If not just before the season, special offers, do this, do that, bring five kids, do. I don't care. I'd rather lose money, Eddie, by filling the stadium than losing more money by not filling the stadium. You understand the marketing aspect of that?
I do. It looks good, doesn't it? And people will come again next year, the year after, and the year after that. If it's a big event, they'll come.
Of course. And on top of that, Eddie, is that if you save your tickets that you've bought this season, you get an even bigger discount on next year's grand final. It's not difficult to understand, is it?
It isn't. Do you fancy a new career? Do you fancy a new career as the man who puts life into rugby league? It sounds like you've got all the ideas here.
I'm too old for all this, Eddie, and as you well know, it takes me a while to get out of this chair.
That's true. That is true. Look, let's not take away this concentration for a moment on financial strife, because the Rugby League has lodged its financial report and accounts. It doesn't make pretty reading, I'm afraid. It's been confirmed a loss of over 500,000 up to the end of 2022. as opposed to a profit of over $500,000 the previous year. I hope I've got this all right. The cash balance fell to just over $5 million compared to over $11 million. And it could have been worse. Sport England's contribution rose from $3.7 million to $6.7 million. TV revenue down from almost $9.5 million in 2021, just over $6 million in 2022. We're led to believe that it reduces even further under the new TV deal. Worrying times. Worrying times, Steve-O.
Oh, without a doubt. This is not a shock. This is something that we all expected. And a lot of people can say, oh, well, the pandemic did this and the pandemic did that. It certainly didn't help. But by the same token, we have to ensure that we try to get ourselves back into the higher situation whereby our game can attract more sponsors. We've already had something which is going to improve. I think you've got the news, Eddie, in regards to Betfred.
Yes, Betfred have done a deal for a 3-year sponsorship extension. Rodri Jones from RL Commercial is saying it's a record deal. And what's more, it brings around a decade at the end of these 3 years, a decade of involvement with Betfred. Steve-O, what would happen if Betfred and Sky weren't around, I wonder? Because that's where all the money comes from.
Well, you and I, Eddie, wouldn't be bothering about doing this podcast.
Oh, some people might hope that it never comes around, all this money.
That may be true, but the point is, is that the game will be dwindling to such an extent that it'll turn around and say it's just not a top sport because we can't get the right people to run it. But I have to say, congratulations to Rodri Jones. He has done a marvellous job at a time when finances are coming to the fore. And I take my hat off to it. He was given this new job, this new title, and Rugby League fans and Rugby League players and anyone connected with Rugby League should just say to themselves, he's done a fine job. And that's not a bad start, is it, to his career? We've got to, you know, we've got to follow what Rodri Jones has done. He's done a 3-year deal at a very good price. And we have to start looking and we have to start prodding. IMG, they're the people that are taking it all over. And every Rugby League fan is saying, right, Rodri Jones has done something. What's IMG going to do?
Yeah, I bet Salford are shouting that from the rooftops as well, because they might be in a bit of a mess. The figures don't look particularly good. They have reportedly reviewed their playing budget for next year already, which seems to indicate that the likes of Brody Croft and maybe some others, because Warrington are eyeing up Oliver Partington as well from Salford, but it looks as though some will be playing elsewhere in 2024. It's a shame, this, because Salford under Paul Rowley, they did so well this year, didn't they?
Yeah, of course they did. And Salford won't be the only club that are looking at the finances. And I just feel that we may even have to go back to part time.
We may have to say
to some of the players, and we've already got it in the lower leagues where they're not full time professional, is that you still have a job, and also have a job, but you will pay X amount to play rugby league. It's a fact of life that we may have to do that.
That's an horrific thought, Steve-O. It really is, to go from a full-time playing operation now back to the dark old days of a part-time sport. That's horrific.
Well, of course it is. But sometimes you've got to look in the mirror and say, "Hey, come on, chum, we've got to get ourselves out of this mess." I've got no idea how to get it, but all I can do is suggest is that, you know, we attract more people that have got a spare 4, 5, 10 million. We keep saying it. We keep laughing and joking about getting on a plane to Dubai and all that sort of thing. But a lot of the other sports, they're doing that. They're getting millions from other countries.
Yeah, they will. They will take the money. That has been proved. There's no doubt about that. I mentioned Brody Croft, Man of Steel 2022. This year's award winners have been announced, Steve-O. Man of Steel, Bevan French, the first Wigan player to win it since Sam Tompkins. There you go. 2012. Yeah. Young player, Josh Thulis of Warrington. Coach of the Year, Adrian Lamb of the Lee Leopards. I'll just give a mention to the Woman of Steel, Sinead Peach of York Valkyrie, who won the Women's Grand Final at the weekend. The Wheelchair Rugby League, not forgotten. The first ever Wheel of Steel goes to Lewis King of the London Roosters. And here's a couple of names that will bring a smile to your face, I know. Mike Eccles of the London Broncos. He's the Championship Coach of the Year. The Championship Young Player of the Year is Bill Leyland of the London Broncos, and Dean Panatta of the London Broncos, and Lachlan Walmsley of Halifax, joint winners of the Championship Player of the Year. Which brings us very nicely onto the Championship semi-final last week. Featherstone 26, London 36. What a win, Steve-O, for the Broncos and your old pal David Hughes. Magnificent.
Yeah, and I must say, poor David wasn't at that game because he was ill in Lanzarote. But he did watch it on TV. Look, it was a fantastic game. Halfway through the season, Eddie, everyone was saying, "Well, why don't they just give Featherstone an entree into Super League? Because nobody's going to beat them. No one's got this, that, and the other." Then they sacked their coach, Sean Long. They've gone on a bit of a spiral. They still had the players there. It's probably one of the best games I've ever seen the London Broncos play. I mean, they just took Featherstone apart on their own ground in front of all their own supporters. Fair play to Featherstone. They bounced back. They realised to keep the ball alive with about 15 minutes to go. But they run out of time, and it was a great win. And it's going to be a wonderful occasion down in Toulouse. It won't be easy for them, but they've just hit their spurs at the right moment. And I'm pleased. Look, how many clubs can say we've got a trio of the best? The coach, the best player, and the best young player.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And it means, as you rightly say, in Toulouse on Sunday, London will be there for the right to take Wakefield's place in the Super League next year. Two previously relegated clubs with a massive chance to bounce back.
Yeah, and the mind goes back to remember when they flew over to Toronto and what was classified those days as the million-dollar game. And it certainly was. And the Broncos came through on that one against all the odds. So it's not going to be easy for the London outfit. But when you look at the fact that three teams in the two finals are not from the rugby league area.
Yeah. That says a lot, doesn't it? It says a lot.
It sure does. I still know of people who are heavily involved in the game, don't like the idea of having a London side, don't like the idea of having French sides in it, but you can't stop them if they become good enough to win through. And let's also look at see what they've done in developing the fans. You could not buy a ticket last week in the south of France.
No.
It was amazing. They even put extra seating in to ensure that they got more and more and more. It's been a long time since we've had a game where they say, wow, we've got to put extra seats in.
Absolutely right. I mean, but on the other side of the coin, Steve-O, Featherstone Rovers' recruitment plans for next year now have been thrown into total chaos after they lost to London. Players look like they'll come back onto the open market. Blake Austin, Greg Minikin, Danny Addy, maybe Ben Reynolds of Lee, who is supposed to have signed on the dotted line. Perhaps they all face uncertain futures now. I mean, this defeat for Featherstone by London at the weekend, massive repercussions.
Well, financially, yes, of course. I mean, when you start looking at the figures, these players that they wanted to join the club, they wouldn't have come for tuppence halfpenny. It would have cost quite a lot of money. So they would have had to take a huge gamble that they actually went and got into Super League. But that was not to be. It's, look, the turmoil that went through from the sacking of Sean Long just seemed to, I don't know, upset the club, upset everything over there. The apple cart fell out, wheels fell off. And as you say, they'll be looking at the bank balance and thinking, how are we going to pay these guys?
It's going to be tough for them. It really is. Okay, look, Toulouse and London. Let's get your prediction for this. Knowing you with your London Broncos hat on, big pal of David Hughes, you're going to go for the Broncos, aren't you?
Yes.
Thought you might. I thought you might. Well, that's 24 hours after the grand final at Old Trafford on Saturday night, Catalan against Wigan. I'm going to get your prediction on that in a moment, Steve-O, so get your thinking cap on. But I want to give a mention to a big fundraiser in aid of the great Rob Burrow at the Manchester Beer Keller this Saturday afternoon. It runs from 12 noon till 4, and it goes on after that because there's Rugby Union... What's that, Steve-O? Rugby Union World Cup matches to be played. All rugby fans are invited to go along for a fiver donation to gain admission. There'll be DJs, games, competitions, prizes and more. All proceeds will go to Rob's fund in what they're calling a roundup for Rob. And this will interest us. Two new beers are going to be launched as well. The Burrow Blonde and the Burrow IPA. Sounds like a lot of fun, and it'll help an Old Trafford legend too, won't it?
It certainly will. Look, everybody that's involved in helping the Burrow family and Rob himself, they deserve special recognition, and I'm glad that they got the Pride of Britain Award.
Yeah,
you know, through Rob, Lindsay, and Sir Kev. Can't forget Sir Kev.
Yes,
it's just amazing. And look, go there, donate what you can, have a good drink, of two new named beers. And then watch the Rugby Union. And then all of you will realise how good our game is.
Good on you, Steve. I tell you what, you should be the man pushing the boat out for rugby league in this country. Let me tell everybody now. Never mind this podcast where we talk nonsense. He talks sense. The lad talks sense. He really does.
All I can say after that, Eddie, is that I think you're beginning to lose the plot.
I've been on the blonde and the IPA.
Well, it certainly appears that way. Look, after this podcast, just sit down, have a nice cup of tea, and relax. And I'm sure you'll recover very, very quickly indeed, my old mate.
And sober up. Okay, right. Last word on this podcast. Grand final week. Who's going to win it, Steve-O? You did a 50% job last week. You got one right, one totally wrong. Who's going to win this one? Who's going to win the grand final? New name? New name or same old, same old?
Catalan will win.
Ooh.
And so will the Broncos.
There you go. You've heard it from the horse's mouth. The man who knows everything about everything. Good on you, Steve-O.
Well, obviously, I know a bit about horses.
Good lad. Okay, look, enjoy the London game, enjoy the grand final, and we'll talk again soon. Great to talk to you again. Have a happy, pleasant, brilliant grand final weekend.